You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here is your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, good morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Monday, March 17th, episode 3648, brought to you today by Worm Flooring. Good morning, horse world.
Well, happy St. Patty's Day, everyone. It is St. Patrick's Day today, and we have a special for you today. We're going to be going to Ireland and talking to Ronan from the Kildare Performance Hunter Show. This is not like the hunter shows we have here, by the way.
It almost reminds me of like when local ranches put on a rodeo of like performances like yes. They do in their daily work. Like this seems to be like that.
Yes, this is more fox hunting competition. And we also have some stats from the horses in Ireland and some equestrian first world problems. Plus, it seems like 12 years since I talked to you last because so much has happened.
And that was just
Friday. So we're going to talk about what happened over the weekend. Obviously, half the country was affected by it, and I bet a lot of our listeners on the East Coast did not get a lot of sleep over the weekend. But you started it all out on Friday. I started getting messages from listeners, is Jamie okay? And I was totally oblivious. I wasn't watching the news at all. So I messaged you, and she's like, I got the trailers hooked up. I'm ready to go. And I was like, why?
It was something I've never experienced. And Oklahoma, apparently this happens because, you know, that whole song, Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping across the plains. Yeah, that's because we're directly in the middle of the country and we get like this crazy wind situation here that happens. Too much science. I don't understand. But it was hell on earth because it's really dry. And there was, I mean, the gusts of 60 to 80 to 100 miles per hour that happened.
And this was Friday. We got off the show, right? You had said it's going to get windy today, and that was all we thought.
It was saying around 10 a.m., 11 a.m., it's going to get windy. So yeah. I was like, I'll bring the horses in around 11. So it started, and they kept warning about, hey, fire danger, fire danger. I didn't think anything of it. And so it's so windy, and we walk outside, and the sky was brown. Like, the sky was brown, and it's so windy, and I brought the horses up because they're just miserable when it's wind like that, and it is just dirt blowing in your eyeballs from neighbors' places, from everywhere, and then the fire started, and what happens is that the power lines blow over and start fires because there's so much wind. It blows over the power lines, sparks a fire, and then 60 mile an hour winds just obliterate. And so we turned on the news, and our local news guy, David Payne, is standing there in front of the TV, and they're just like, another fire over here. Oh, now look, there's another one over here. There's another one over here. And it was like apocalyptic almost what was happening here in Oklahoma. Every 5 minutes there's a new fire, and there was one about as the crow flies less than a mile. However, it was southeast of us and the wind was coming from the southwest, so it was going to blow away. But there is no guarantee that there's not going to be one that pops up just to my west. So there's a big thing here in Oklahoma. People have these cedar trees, and the cedar trees, when they catch on fire, oil goes off of them into the air, and that oil sparks, and then it just carries.
They kind of like explode, don't they?
They're the worst. And so we don't have any cedar trees on our property, but my next door neighbor, his whole 20 acres is cedar trees of disaster. So, I mean,
that's the woods you ride through, right?
Yeah. And I was just terrified. I mean, this was so much scarier than tornadoes, because in a tornado, we have a shelter and we can go in the shelter. This is sheer obliteration if it happens, and there's no shelter for you. It just, everything is gone. So
fortunately, around your house, there's not a lot of trees. There's some, but you don't have a forest around your house.
I'm 12 feet away from 20 acres of trees.
Oh, so it's on the backside. I forgot about that. Yeah,
it's directly across the driveway. No, yeah. I mean, this is a tinderbox if it wanted to be. So we just had one of those days where I just watched the news and we had the trailers hooked up. We had
Could you get all the horses out with the trailers?
So I have six horses on the property right now and six slots in the trailer. But I was like, oh my God, like getting four horses in my four horse is a feat of amazing accomplishment, especially in that kind of stress.
So Larissa,
yeah, she hooked up her trailer and was ready to come over because she has a six horse trailer. So I'm like, between the three of us, and then Ginger, I had her go get her uncle's truck. And so she brought her truck over. We had all the paperwork packed, horses were in, trailers hooked up, ready to pull out just in case. And again, we were watching every fire, and I'm not kidding you. That was the most stressful day. And Chad was like, it'll be fine. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. I would rather be over. Let me just say that in a much calmer Monday morning voice than I did on the Friday afternoon panic voice that I used, which was, I would rather be overprepared than underprepared. And so we loaded up all the documents in the car, all the paperwork, anything we wanted to make sure we had. You know, we had water bottles and all the things. I was ready to head to Canada, basically. But I mean, where do you go? There's fires everywhere. So they still do have some fires burning. And yesterday was nice and calm, but today's supposed to be windy again. So it's just not an awesome time. I don't remember this. I mean, I've only been here 5 years, 6 years, but I don't remember anything like this happening. But apparently it's happened before here. But yeah, watching the TV, trailers hooked up, horses in, bags packed, documents in the car, like we were ready. And it was absolutely terrifying.
Why did I come here?
Well, like Anna's watching it and then Lucas is like, we're okay, right? We're okay, right? And I was like, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be fine. Like, just like trying to be a super cool mom, but like also in complete freak out mode and horse owner and farm owner and all this, like, oh my God, it was just utterly terrifying. So about 10 p.m. that night, the wind died down. And so we knew that we were safe. But there are around us that weren't. And this, my heart breaks for everybody.
Neighborhoods in the city got hit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Horse and Hounds trailer, like roofs were blowing off. This wind was unbelievable. And Horse and Hound lost the roof of their hay barn. They lost the roof of something else. They lost some fencing. I know. They have just had a hell of a year. And so it was definitely one of the most stressful days. Now, my exciting weekend did not end there, but let's cover that in a minute.
I know. And then those storms went on to spur 45 tornadoes.
Oh, everybody, yeah, everybody. And so destruction and death and just awfulness. So let's do Daily Winnies and then I'll tell you about something funny.
Okay. All right. Let's do that. Let's do it right here. No auditor birthdays, so I did want to give thanks to an auditor, Shelley, and her horse husband, Steve, for hanging out with us at Live Oak on Saturday. Our weather hit yesterday, so we were okay on Saturday. And they were there, they were visiting and watching a friend of theirs drive, but they hung out with us all morning at the water obstacle as we watched every driver go through. It was a beautiful day until yesterday when it wasn't so beautiful. But yeah, and we did fine. There were tornadoes below us, but we just had heavy rains and lightning and power blinking and all that stuff, but not as bad as everybody else. So thank you to them. It was fun to hang out with them, and it's always fun to meet another listener. I'm trying to find your daily witty. Hold on. There it is.
Well, I wanted to thank everybody for the kind messages and comments and all of that. So the skies were red here because apparently dust from New Mexico and Mexico was blowing up, and they had
they were
this
sharing.
Like, I posted on my Facebook page, just the news guy going, oh my God, this is incredible. So I got so many messages, but I wanted to read you the one that I think sums up how I feel as somebody who lives here.
Okay.
And this was sent to me by Jeff from Omega Alpha. Okay.
I can only imagine.
Yeah. He said, this is his message. Just a thought, pal. I never heard of Norman, Oklahoma until you moved there. And now once a month, I got to pray for you guys. What the hell? Yeah, that's how I feel. I never heard of it either. Now I live here and yeah, pray for us every month. Just put us in the box at church, like the
Jeff,
plate.
If her husband's family wasn't there, she would not be in Norman, Oklahoma. I guarantee you that.
With this whole like turnpike thing potentially coming through.
Yeah, you might not be.
I'm like, where do we want to go? Like if we get kicked out of Oklahoma, I'm running. Like, bye. Like, this has been great. This is crazy.
Back to Lexington.
I'm going somewhere else. We're going to Florida or Kentucky or something. But yeah, it's crazy.
Now, they had a bunch of tornadoes in Kentucky, too, so I don't know.
Well, I mean, weather happens everywhere. It's just, there's a lot of weather here. It's just, there's everything here. Everything.
You kind of get the extremes of the weather, too. It's never, you know, it's just harsh.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Having been there when it's 110 degrees, too, it's just harsh.
Yeah, you picked a good week.
Although,
to come.
You managed to salvage something out of the weekend because I saw some videos.
I did. Here's what's fun. So on Sunday, there was a eventing derby at our local eventing facility, which is really fun. It's just basically cross country. You just do a cross country ride. Super fun. So I was going to take Ace. And so on Saturday, Anna and I, they do a schooling, like you open to schooling on Saturday. So on Saturday, it's a great learning experience. We loaded up Miles and Ace, which for those keeping up, Miles loaded perfect on the way there and on the way home. Now, also Miles is the spookiest Andalusian in the history of the world with the bullfighting lineage. And clearly it skipped a generation because he is the biggest wuss ever on the face of the earth. But we loaded up. He loaded great. We traveled there. He unloaded and then sky high eyeballs the whole time. Like, oh my God, what is it? It was a lot. Like he's traveled to places. He's traveled to Lake Thunderbird. Yeah, but it's a trail. And then the other place we've gone is an indoor arena for lessons. And so this was a wide open cross country horse with the horses galloping by and all the activity of a cross country experience. And it was a lot for him. It was a lot. Like it was. It was so much that we were like, maybe tomorrow we sub in Craigslist Carl, you know, like, I don't know. Like, I feel like this is blowing his mind. And it was, he was super forward. Like he wasn't bad, but he wasn't great. Like he wasn't the pleasant experience that I would want Anna to have. So we're like, okay, tomorrow for the actual competition, we're going to bring Craigslist Carl. Well, on Friday night, I was supposed to go out to dinner with my friend Larissa. There's this new swanky Mexican restaurant that opened up in Norman. And swanky restaurants don't open up in Norman. So we were going to go. But then the fires happened. So we decided to go Saturday night. So I get dropped off by my husband at the swanky restaurant in Norman. I'm going to Uber home. Okay. So we go to dinner. And it's so swanky that we don't really understand what they're saying, the employees. Like they don't really speak.
Not much English being spoken.
Like not much at all. And
you wouldn't point to the pictures. They didn't have the pictures on the menu. It's too swanky for pictures.
It was. So what I saw online was there's a vegetarian section at the restaurant. And so we get there and I'm like, hi, I'm a vegetarian. Where's your vegetarian menu? Oh, no, we make food for you.
Oh,
okay. Well, what do you make? And they start listing all these, our service starts listing all these things. And I don't know what she's saying. And I speak a little Spanish and I couldn't get any of it. All I heard finally was fajitas. And I was like, that sounds good. I'll have that. And they're like, okay, we make you fajita. And so they come back and they've got the fajitas on the plate and then they've got the beans and rice and all the, you know, tortillas and all that crap that goes with it. And I was like, so this is vegetarian. Because as a vegetarian of 30, almost 40 years, any meat that has touched my food, I can't digest. My body does not digest things like that. So they bring the food and I'm like, these beans and this rice, a vegetarian. Yes, yes, of course. No meat. I was like, but is it cooked with meat? Is it, can it be? Is no meat. And again, swanky new place. Okay, fine. So we eat dinner, we hang out, and we eventually leave and go home. Well, about 3 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, no.
I'm up. I revisited everything I'd eaten in the last 7 weeks.
Oh, And you were going to the show on Sunday?
Yeah. So I'm in the bathroom throwing up, doing all the things that you do when you get food poisoning. And Chad and Lucas are going on a trip. They went skiing for spring break, and Anna and I opted to stay home. So they're leaving at like 4:30. So I'm up. They're finally driving out. I was like, bye, have fun. Bleh! You know, like, have a great time. Love you. Bleh! So they start leaving, and my phone rings in the other room. And I'm like, hold on.
At like four in the morning?
At 4:30 in the morning, my phone is ringing. I look, and it's my husband. I was like, uh-oh. Oh, no. So I answer the phone, and he's like, Duke is sleeping in the yard. And I was like, excuse me? He's like, Duke, our horse Duke is out. And he's sleeping in the yard. Now, mind you, thank God our entire property is fenced. So if the horses get out, there's
perimeter fencing, by the way, is the most wonderful thing ever invented.
It is. So he's like, Duke is out. He's like, and then he's like, I need you to come, you know, help. We can get Duke. We can get Duke because he hears me. I'm not doing good. And then he's like, uh-oh. Oh, wait, there's Maverick. Oh, wait. And I hear Lucas in the back go, there's Miles. All the horses were out.
Wake up, Anna.
And he's like, and he can't do anything. And I'm like, oh God. And so I throw on some clothes. Mind you, fires all day. So fires the day before. And then so much drama. And I head down at 4:30 in the morning after being awake for an hour and a half, being sick. So I go down and I grab a halter. I get a halter. I get Duke up. I get all the horses yarded, you know, put back in their paddock. They busted through a gate. I didn't leave a gate open. They busted through the gate because they're a-holes. So I get all the horses there. Now, mind you, I'm doing all this myself while I'm sick. And my husband is standing there. Remember the horse husband deal where I told you he doesn't do anything with the horses? And I was like, can you please grab a halter and help me? So he grabs a halter and he goes to catch Craigslist.
I'm feeling really good about my horse husbandhood right now because I could have caught all the horses. I'm really feeling good about that.
Good. Yeah. Well, he goes to catch Craigslist Carl, who at this point in his life is still very suspicious about humans. And not to mention, my husband, he's like, I can't catch Carl. I can't catch Carl. And I was like, I don't know. Maybe because you're coming at him like a jungle cat because you're mad and you're frustrated and you're irritated. And he's like,
going
nope.
Skiing.
He's like, that guy is scary and I don't like his energy. And Carl was like, peace out. And I was like, babe, you can't run at him angry and expect him to gently put his face in your halter. So, of course, I walk right up to Carl and I'm like, hey, buddy. And I put the halter on. He's like, this is BS. I can't believe what is going on. Like, it's 4:30 in the morning. I've been vomiting for an hour and a half and I'm catching the horses while you're mad because your ski
trip
departure has been delayed. Everybody, I'm so mad. And so I get all the horses in and they finally drive out. Again, super grateful that they noticed they were out. They have destroyed everything. Chad flips on all the lights in the barn. Everything is destroyed. There's blankets down. All the trash cans are turned over. I mean, it was disastrous. They broke in and tried to bring in the chicken coop. They got chicken feed. Like, it was awful.
Oh my God.
And I was like, hey, can you just go? Just go. It's fine. I got it. Just go. Just please drive. Get in your car. Drive. Love you. Have a great time. Bye. And so they leave and I do the walk of shame back up to the house at what is about now 4:45 in the morning and then continue to be sick for about two more hours. And I'm like, wake up. And I'm like, I didn't even go to sleep. I just stayed up. And I'm like, I can't ride cross country today. Like, it's not happening. It is not. That's not part of my life. But I promised Anna that I would take her. What do I want to do? I want to lay in bed and die. Okay. But I promised Anna I would take her. So we load up Craigslist Carl.
Porta potties at the show are so much fun.
Yeah. They don't even have those. It's a small enough for you're going to go in your trailer if you're going to go. No. And I was like, I'm just going to have to suck it up. I took some Pepto and I was like, load up. And so we took her and took Craigslist Carl and we got there and she was like, I need you to walk my course with me. And I was like, hey. So I walked the damn course with her and I get back and I'm
sitting
down.
Which has no jumps, right? It's just basically riding around.
Yeah, it's basically ride by the jumps, all the jumps I jumped yesterday, which you were there, like ride by them. And then afterwards, you know, like, and you, can you go do this? No, I'm done. I'm done. Done. I love you. I'm done. So I sat in the car, she got tacked up, and then I walked back out to cross country and I watched her do all the things, which it's funny because Carl only neck reins, but she's in an English saddle. So it was a giant hot mess, but he was a prime time player.
He looked like a trooper.
He did so good. Oh my gosh. He loaded up like, okay, whatever. I don't care. And then like traveled. I don't care. And then unloaded. He was like, I don't care. And then she got on. He's like, I don't care. Go out to cross country course. I don't care. Go in the start box and go. And he just lit up.
His ears were off.
So much fun. I've recorded the whole thing, but it's like 3.5 minutes of trotting, you know. And, oh my God. It was so precious. And he was so good. And she just was like, Carl, it's so great. And he has earned his spot in the Flyover Farm history books forever. Oh, hell, I might even bury him in the field when he's done and gone, because he just earned some special wings yesterday. It was amazing.
Craigslist Carl's the best Craigslist horse you've ever bought, I think.
I mean, he's pretty awesome. I found a couple good ones, but yeah, he's pretty darn awesome.
Yeah, but you didn't find any that don't require any vet care whatsoever. This is the first one that you've ever found that doesn't require anything.
You make a very good point. Yeah. So, I mean, again, they're like, his teeth don't need to be floated because he's from Swink, Oklahoma. We don't do that here. And like, turns out he didn't need his teeth floated. It was weird. Anyway,
keep an eye on Swink for sale ads.
I know, right? I'm going to add that to my list.
I wonder if it's like lawnmowers and things don't need serviced and trucks don't need, you know, any service at all. I don't need even to change the oil. You don't need to do that in Swink.
Maybe if I'm leaving Oklahoma, I should just move there. I'm just going to move to Swink.
Yeah, because apparently it's cheap to live
maybe
there.
Maybe there's no weather and there's no craziness, no way to get sick. It was insane. No vaccinations ever, and he's fine. No teeth flowed ever. He's 20, he's fine. No feet done, he's fine.
So let's review before we get to our worm ad. Are we going to go to any more restaurant openings the opening weekend?
I'm going to tell you what,
I didn't think so.
I mean, it was like everybody was talking about it in town. I was so excited. We got there early enough for a table.
Was it an expensive Mexican restaurant?
Oh God, it was so expensive. And they're like, we make fajitas for you. And I was like, I couldn't be like, how much do they cost?
It didn't look like there was any meat in it, right?
No, it didn't look like it, but it doesn't matter. Yeah. They cook beans and rice and everything.
It like same griddle.
Yeah. Mexican restaurants are super suspect. You think you should be able to eat as a vegetarian at a Mexican place. You can't
that would
chips
be
and
the one thing you could
it.
Eat.
Right?
Yeah.
And that lady just lied. She just lied.
She had
I couldn't
no idea
communicate
what you were
with
saying.
Her. And she couldn't communicate back with me. And I'm like, and she's like, no meat, vegetarian. I was like, yeah, but I go, is there lard in the beans? Like, is there, chicken stuff? She didn't understand a word I was saying. And I was like, it's fine. It's fine. Well, it was not fine.
Now, Larissa didn't get sick, right?
Oh, God, no. She ate a plate of meat and rice. Like, she's, yeah, she's the fine. Biggest carnivore on the planet.
I was just thinking maybe it was food poisoning and not even just the meat, but, you know, something.
Oh, no, she had seafood with her for meat. Oh. Like, shellfish. She was fine. I text her the next morning. I'm like, how are you? She's like, great. How are you? And I'm like, I hate you. I hate you so much.
Well, we won't be going back there. We always avoid the new restaurants for about 2 months to let them get the systems down.
And when we left, there was like a line out the door, and I'm like, we scored big time. Look how we got in, no problem.
And your $100 Mexican wasn't very good in the end.
It was, I was like, and I didn't ask how much
you
it
sure
was.
It wasn't all the alcohol.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty good at the alcohol. Alcohol doesn't do this.
No, that doesn't usually do that. It might actually kill those germs, usually.
Yeah. I should be squeaky clean.
Speaking of squeaky clean, I know one thing that gets clean very easy, and that's your worm floor in your trailer. You know what? Traditional floors and trailers take a beating. They crack, they leak. You have to pull up the mats. You have to wash underneath, at least you're supposed to, so your floor doesn't rot out, whether it's aluminum or wood. And there is a solution. It's called worm flooring. It's a sealed system that's easy to clean and maintain. They basically put this flooring over top of your wood or over top of your aluminum, and you never have to worry about it again. It's slip resistant. It keeps your horse safe and sound, and it's built to last. You don't have to worry about them peeing in there or anything because you just hose it out. It's wormflooring.com. That's W-E-R-M flooring.com to learn more. The lasting solution for a beautiful floor. And you can. They also do barns and trailers and shops and vet clinics and all those kind of things. Wormflooring.com. So also, I wanted to mention that Jennifer got her new saddle.
And, oh, good.
Yeah, it came Saturday. She was so excited. It's beautiful, actually. It's very pretty. It's the first saddle she's ever had that's had a horn, and the first saddle that she's ever had that's been, what's it called when they have the engraving all around it?
Tooled?
Tooled, yes. It's the first tooled saddle she's ever had. Now, it's a combination of leather on kind of on the seat and on the top, and then everything else is synthetic, so it's lighter. It's lighter than a regular Western saddle would be, and it seems to fit him pretty well, although we got the storms yesterday and it rained inches, so she only got to put it on the horse, didn't get to ride in it, so that's today to see, but it seemed to fit him pretty well, and she discovered the cost of a Western saddle pad from Weber with leather and how much they are. She said, Western saddle pads are so much more expensive than English saddle pads.
But, no, it's a commitment to buy, like, English people, we just buy, like, 40 different colors, and yes, we just dress for mood. And yes, Western, you commit.
Yes, this is a commitment. It's like, I'm getting one saddle pen. So it seems to be good so far. So we'll see after she rides today if it's a keeper. But she did get that. And what else is going on before we get to our guest?
Well, today, I'll be at the courthouse at 1 o'clock for those following along with our turnpike disaster.
You've been arrested again?
I love it. I'm going to go to the courthouse and I'm going to wear red in protest of the turnpike. So we're meeting at 1 o'clock.
You're apparently there's some sort.
I know. They email me and I'm like, I'm there. And I'm taking Anna and Ginger and Brooklyn. We're all going to the courthouse wearing our red just to let them know that there are people out there. I'm not going to speakers like say anything. Not that I am a speaker at all. I just apparently they just need numbers. There's a city council vote on whatever nonsense. And they just want people there to let them know that people care.
Good.
So I care.
Yay. Good for you. Well, before we get to our guest, I wanted to, you know, it is St. Patrick's Day. I wanted to talk a little bit about the horses in Ireland. Are you ready for some stats?
Bring it.
There are over 200,000 horses estimated to be in Ireland, which is pretty good considering there's only 5 million people.
So, oh, wow.
Yeah, so there's a lot of horses in Ireland. The industry is a $1.1 billion annual industry, which is pretty good, again, for a country of that size. There are 29,000 to 30,000 people directly employed in the equine sector. Stud farms. There are 200 stud farms in Ireland. That's a lot.
They have a lot of racing. Horse, yes, racing is a huge thing. And I mean, Coolmore is a part of Ireland. And like, geez, it's the coolest. I went to one of the stud farms when I was in Ireland. And it just, I mean, it's Kentucky like, you know.
And you went to one of the thoroughbred farms?
Yeah.
Yeah. They have about 6,000 thoroughbred foals that are born annually in the country. And a lot of those are exported too. Connemara ponies, another thing you find a lot of in Ireland, and with several thousand of those bred each year, particularly in the western part of Ireland.
It's Irish draft horses are like draft crosses, and Irish sport horses really popular.
Yep. And I didn't know this. They have 26 race courses in the country. There's not that many in the United States. I mean, there's a lot of race courses in Ireland. And of course, some of their big races are the Irish Derby, the Irish Grand National, which we've actually talked about the Irish Grand National before. I didn't realize this either. 70% of Irish-bred horses compete in international races. So about 70% of them end up traveling or getting shipped overseas. And of course, you know, some of the big ones they end up with is at the Royal Ascot and things like that. And of course, you know, their Irish sport horses are known for show jumping, eventing. Those are the two big disciplines that they always do very well at. In Wellington, you always see the Irish contingent down there. The Irish team is always there competing all winter long. And of course, eventing. We know a lot of the eventers from Ireland. I didn't realize.
Well, hopefully, yeah, I'll be Austin O'Connor, who's like always in Kentucky. So,
yeah. Well, yeah, you might say, I don't know. Did they announce who's coming yet? In Kentucky?
I don't think so.
That should be announced soon, I would think. I didn't realize. I knew Ireland was popular. You went there on a riding, you know, basically you went riding as a holiday. 200,000 visitors go to Ireland each year just for equestrian activities. I didn't realize that it was that popular for a riding destination, but apparently it is.
Oh my God, it was so fun. Bucket list fox hunting in Ireland. It was unbelievable. It was unbelievable. Well, Crawla Harriers.
We're going to talk to Ronan, who's coming on next, and he's going to talk to us. He's from Ireland, and he's going to talk to us about the Kildare Performance Hunter Show. And what exactly is that? It's not the kind of hunters we're thinking about. This is a little bit different. And it kind of relates to what you did in Ireland. Well, as I said, we have Ronan on with us. What part of Ireland are you in?
We're in the south of Ireland. We're about 25 miles from Dublin City. So we're in the county of Kildare, which is known as the thoroughbred county in Ireland because of its strong association with the racing industry in Ireland. So that's where we're located.
I just did some stats from horses in Ireland, and wow, horses are a huge part of your culture over there.
They are. It's quite a... Our society is still quite agrarian, so we're quite close to farming and to agriculture. So you find a lot of people, ownership is quite widespread in Ireland. You know, you don't need, I know in Europe, a very elaborate stabling and that type of thing. But in Ireland, we're much more basic. So a lot of people, you know, plumbers and nurses all keep horses, you know, so it's quite a widespread sport in Ireland.
Did your family have horses when you were born? Were you born into it?
Well, my father, God rest him, as we'd say, he was in a dairy. So they used to deliver milk with horses back in the sort of the 50s. So he had an association with kind of the working horses, not so much, you know, riding them for leisure or that type of thing. So it was more of a working experience with them in that respect, you know.
A milkman, a real milkman.
They used to he would tell me stories that the horses were so smart that they'd know which houses to stop outside because they got used to their routes, and they'd stop outside, you know, Mrs. Kelly's house or Mrs. Jones' house, and they'd move on to the next two or three doors up and stop again. And this milk now was delivered unpasteurized, it was in milk churns, you know, so it was very, very basic sort of service, but really, really smart horses. And I was talking to a guy actually, and he was telling me that he actually kept a horse for doing milk rounds in the countryside here in where I live until maybe the 1970s. But what he found was the horses used to scrape alongside the cars parked on the streets. So he had to get rid of the horse because it caused too much damage to parked cars, which was a kind of a symbol of Ireland was coming into the sort of a new age where people were owning cars and things like that. So it's a sign of the times when the horse had to be made redundant on that end of things, you know.
That's kind of funny. So now I wanted to talk to you about the Kildare Performance Hunter Show. My wife was a fox hunter, and actually Jamie, who's on this call, has been to Ireland fox hunting. So tell us about a performance hunter show. That's a little different than the hunter shows we're familiar with over here.
Yeah, well, our show is quite unique in Ireland in its own right, because we generally would have, and I think you have the same kind of working hunter shows,
right,
where a horse will jump kind of a relatively straightforward jumping course as opposed to a technical course that you'll get in show jumping, you know, the higher levels. But our show reflects sort of the challenges that are met by the hunting horse out in the hunting field. So we would differ from the point of view of being even a hunter trial or a three-day event type course, because we replicate the type of obstacles that are met in the hunting field, such as hedges and drains, electric tape, things like this that modern hunt horse has to cross. So that was the concept behind our show. And the fact that we have three judges who are, again, they're usually from a hunting background that appreciate and know what they're looking for in the type of horse. So when we've got three classes in our show, and when they come to the end of the class, it's about 20 horses or 25 horses in each class. They pick about six horses that they will actually ride and ride over some of the obstacles and get a feel for the horse. And then they kind of declare which, you know, 1 to 6 in terms of winners. So that's the format.
And the judge kind of rides the horse, Ronan?
Yeah, the judge will mount the horse. They usually pick two horses each. So they've got six horses. They usually pick two. They may pick more if they want. They'd ride them over some of the course, not the whole course, but some of the obstacles, some of the hedges, to get a feel for the horse. So yeah, then that creates a bit of a great spectacle for the spectators that can watch and see, you know, how the judges get on, you know.
Well, of course.
Oh, wow, that's so cool. Fantastic.
Yeah. So it is, like I said, it's unique in Ireland. It's only a new concept. It came up. We've got a very small committee. There's only about four of us on the committee, and it's all voluntary work we do, and it's a lot of hard work. I kind of look after the admin and the social media end of it, but we've got two course designers, Hazel Valentine and Chris Francis are their names, and they put a lot of work into trying to think up concepts to challenge the horses. Now, we do this on a race course. We have the actual Hunt Club owns a race course, believe it or not.
Oh, wow.
The Punchestown race course. It's in Kildare as well. And it's one of the oldest steeplechase courses in Ireland. I don't know if you're familiar with steeplechase racing.
Oh, yeah.
That's racing over jumps.
Yeah.
Again, it's an Irish invention. The Irish invented steeplechase racing in down in County Cork, actually.
Because you're all crazy.
Yes.
You're all crazy horse people who try to hurt yourself.
You have the craziest fox hunting and the craziest steeplechasing.
Yeah, it's kind of great challenging stuff. But look, these guys, I mean, I'm always amazed at the riders we have there. They're jumping hedges. It's all about, there's a great natural instinct that these horses and riders have. And, you know, the Irish Hunter is a highly sought after horse. They're very, very intelligent animals. And very, you know, we have the saying, they have the fifth leg, you know, they have a fifth leg that they can throw out to help a rider if they get into difficulties on certain banks and things, challenges like that. And that's, again, the renown of the Irish Hunter. So, yeah, no, it's a great spectacle. And we're delighted when we get people coming in from Europe and Britain to view it. It's very exciting, you know.
Yeah, of course, you know, Irish fox hunting is known worldwide as being as being the ultimate in fox hunting, right?
It was the most fun. I got to hunt with the Grala Harriers, and it was just the most fun. And unfortunately, we didn't get to go jump the fields because they were training the hounds, and so I got to jump giant parking blockade structures. It was fantastic. They were like, just gallop and jump that giant metal arm that's sticking out blocking cars from coming. Okay. This is normal.
Yeah. It is. And it's just, we just kind of take it for granted. And, you know, it's something that Ireland and Britain, I suppose, is quite unique, because even in Europe, in sort of the late 1800s, people didn't jump horses, didn't jump anything with horses. But in Ireland and Britain, we were always jumping obstacles with horses. And like, hunting goes back in a tradition in Ireland, goes back to the St. Patrick himself. You know, we had great tradition for hounds in Ireland. And even in the Roman Colosseum, they brought Irish hounds to fight in the Colosseum. And in fact, St. Patrick, they believe that when he was escaping from Ireland the first time, he left Ireland on a ship that had a cargo of hounds going to Europe. So, yeah, we've had this great, great tradition, and it's just something that we just take for granted, that we just jump things like that. And again, it's our show, we're always very mindful of safety and making sure for both horse and rider. So none of the stuff we do, and I know people have watched our Facebook page, and they've seen quite substantial jumps, but they seem bigger than they actually are. They ride better, if you know what I mean. So
says the guy.
Yes, says the
jumps
guy.
Jumps them all the damn time. I love it. They seem bigger. That's fine. I was riding this horse, and they were like, "It's the safest horse in Galway. Safest horse in Galway." And then we jumped this traffic thing, and he lit off bucking. And of course, they shave the mane, so I don't have anything to hold on to. And I was like, "Woo!" They were like, "Oh, he's feeling good today." And I was like, obviously, obviously. I want to ask you, though, because it is St. Patrick's Day. What does St. Patrick's Day look like in Ireland?
Well, it's quite relatively tame, unless you're in Dublin. It's quite raucous in Dublin. We have in my local town, we have a parade that, you know, local businesses will go up along the main street. And, you know, the plumbers and the fire brigade and the police will go up along with their sirens blaring. And it's just a nice, very quiet sort of a parades. You get football clubs and maybe a bit of traditional music going on. So it's a little bit quiet. It wouldn't be my ambition is to go to New York sometime to see the St. Patrick's Day parade there. I think it would be a bit more lively.
Was it started here?
I think it was. It was kind of a way of the Irish expressing their sort of patriotism, I suppose. But I'm not sure now, to be straight with you now, whether that's the case or not.
And do you guys drink as much as we do on St. Patrick's Day?
Well, kind of. I wouldn't now, but you would have people. Yeah, it's a bank holiday here today, so the day off work. So people will be probably in the pubs having a few pints, as we'd say. And we actually had our hunter trial yesterday, which was in Punchestown. So this is a sort of it's like a version of a 3-day event course for hunting horses. So we had about 590 horses going around yesterday on our hunter trial course. And that was took up a lot of time yesterday for us. So we didn't get a chance to go to the bar or go to the pub.
Okay,
a bank holiday, so you're good to go.
Yeah, today you're good.
Yeah.
I got to ask you, what do you carry in your flask during the hunts?
I just carry straight whiskey.
Okay. He's a traditionalist.
Jameson. Yeah, I just like it straight, and I don't like water. Some people have the slow gin, which is lovely, and a lot of people put sort of, I think it's, what's it called? I can't think of the name of it. It's liqueur. It's very, very sweet. They sweeten up stuff a lot, but I just take straight whiskey now. I'd be like a cowboy.
No, that's awesome. When I was there, I was talking to the guys we were going to hunt with, and I was like, you know, what do I carry in the flask? And they go, oh, you're not going to want to drink during this. Yeah, you're going to need to have your wits about you. And I was like, oh, this is going to be good.
There's a lot to be said for that, actually, because if you get the whiskey and things like that give you a bit of Dutch courage. We'd normally have a drink after maybe a tricky ditch. Now, in the west of Ireland, you'll find we have a lot of what we call ditches and drains. We're on the east coast, so we have a lot of drains which are, they're like ditches, and they're usually full of water. They can be very tricky to jump. And in the west of Ireland, they don't have them. They have the stone walls. So we don't have many stone walls over our side. So it's quite two different countries nearly in terms of hunting countryside, you know.
Do you have a favorite horse that you hunt with currently?
Well, I have my own horse. She's an Irish. I actually bred her myself, and I broke her myself, and I produce her. It's a term we use. So I just have one horse. I have a young three-year-old. He's a gelding out of her, actually. And we're just breaking him at the moment and riding him about. But both of those are what we call traditional Irish horses. They're kind of a new sort of a breed that the Irish government is trying to preserve, the old traditional Irish hunter, because a lot of Irish mares have been crossed now with warm bloods from Europe. And it's kind of changing the format or the sort of character of our hunters. So these are our traditional sort of bred horses. So that's my favorite anyway.
That's fantastic.
She's a good smart lady she is too, over ditches and things like that. So yeah, it's great.
These are the kind of, this is why we all go to Ireland and buy horses and bring them back here, because that's the kind of horse we want.
Yeah. And you know, our show actually about 40% of the horses that will be there are for sale. You know, people are wanting to sell these horses, and you know, it's to sort of plug it. We have local businesses are actually sponsoring us. We've got a saddle maker from Kilcullen, the Burnies, and they've been around since 1854, and they're supplying a saddle to one of the winners. And we have our local restaurant, Lemongrass Fusion, who are also sponsoring prize money. So we try and put up the prize money for the riders. And a lot of these people are producing these horses in their sort of part-time. They're not professional producers. So you've got a great opportunity if you want to buy a good Irish hunter, seeing one going around a course, buy it on its own. You know, one of the great tests of a horse is to see it doing things by itself without a leader. So this is a huge opportunity for anybody who's interested in an Irish horse.
Okay, I'm coming. Where do I learn more about this? And how do I find out, then look at these horses and get involved in this? Because that is fantastic. What an opportunity.
I want to fly to Kildare today after this.
Yeah. So. Well, we have a... We have our Facebook page is probably the strongest representation we have. It's the Kildare Performance Hunter Show is the name. And you see videos of actually the actual, I don't know if you've seen videos, but you see videos of our course and some of the footage from past years. Now, the point is, like, our club has no interest in selling. We've no commercial interest in selling these horses. We're just trying to promote the Irish horse and trying to promote the people who are brave enough to bring on these horses. And like I said, most of the people who are selling these horses they're just people like normal people. They just keep a horse part-time and they have it as maybe a hobby to bring on a horse and maybe sell it and make a few dollars, as to use your language, a few quid, as we'd say over here, as a sideline. But they're genuinely good horses, because a bad horse can't do this course. You know, you'll see, and we do have horses that refuse and stop at certain things, but when you see the good ones going around, it's just incredible. And we have a lot of people coming from the UK who come and buy horses on the back of this show, because I mean, actually had people from the Netherlands as well came over and bought horses. But like I said, like, we're not trying to sell them, as it were. We're just trying to promote them and promote the Irish horse, you know?
Absolutely. I'm on your Facebook page right now, and there's even side saddle riders going over jumps, and it's just incredible. So the Kildare Performance Hunter Show, I am going to put that on my bucket list. I'm going to come over, watch it, and take one of them. Yay!
Do absolutely, Jamie. It's and the side saddle riders, it's a pity, because we had some, it's quite incredible. Like, these ladies, about 5 or 6 years ago, there was a cohort of them. Actually, a lot of them came from the west of Ireland, and they were just so brave and doing the same course in side saddle. Unfortunately, this year we couldn't seem to get any side saddle riders, so we're hoping maybe next year we can get some a new sort of generation to come along, because really that's what the side saddle was developed for riding over the countryside. You know, it wasn't designed for riding in a showground. It was designed for riding over obstacles. And so we've great footage of some of the past competitions where the ladies rode the side saddles, and really just really, really impressive, you know.
Well, Ronan, thank you so much for joining us here on St. Paddy's Day. We appreciate it. And it's been so good. We could talk to you all day. I have 1,000 more questions. We'll have to get back to you.
Have a pint of Guinness for us, darling, because there is no, it doesn't taste the same anywhere else. So I hope you appreciate it.
Great, guys. Look, anytime, give us a call. I mean, there's lots of history there if you ever want to look it up. And kind of, you know, a lot of stories there, like the Irish invented show jumping as well. I don't know if a lot of people know that. But it is loads of stories there that I'm delighted we'd like to.
Oh, we'll definitely have you back. Yeah, well, let's do that.
Yeah,
can you leave us with an Irish saying?
An Irish saying. Oh, yeah. My grandmother used to say that a cute fox never kills near home. So what that means
I have to think about that.
It comes with, if you're dating somebody, my grandmother used to say, make sure it's somebody that's not local. So a cute fox never kills near home.
There you go.
Into trouble.
Thanks, Ronan.
So there you have it, guys. Right. Great to talk to you.
Bye-bye.
Happy thanks
St. Patrick's Day. Bye.
Thank you very much. And thanks again. Bye-bye.
That saying is like the one that I have, which is don't poop where you eat.
Yeah, okay? There you go. I'm not sure which I like better. He was fantastic. I could talk to him all day.
Oh my gosh, I love that. Him. That
and
was
you
great.
Know, St. Paddy's Day. Ashley, well done. Well done, Ashley.
What's crazy is I'm on this and looking at the Kildare Performance Hunter Show on Facebook, and oh my God, there's this gray horse that I need. Oh my God, these horses are fantastic, jumping walls and hedges and ditches and just like for show. That's amazing. So cool.
All right. You want to do some equestrian first world problems? We'll do that right after this.
When it comes to equine health, Cosequin Joint Health Supplement didn't just enter the arena, they built it. World-renowned riders like Philip Dutton, Will Coleman, and Julie Goodnight trust Cosequin for their horses. The high-quality, scientifically researched ingredients found in Cosequin products range to support joint, digestive, hoof, and immune health, the areas that are the most impacted in a performance horse. Top riders give their horses the best, and that's why when performance matters, they choose Cosequin. With over 30 years behind the Cosequin name, you can rely on Cosequin products for when performance matters. To learn more, visit Cosequin.com.
You can enjoy your favorite equine videos all in one place with RIDE TV, the ultimate equine streaming platform. The newly relaunched Ride TV has all the series you love, like Rockstar Vets and Mini Horses, plus top-tier training videos and event footage from BarrelRacing.com and Horse and Rider On Demand. Whether you're ready to relax with your favorite series, binge watch competition footage, or train with a world champion, subscribe to Ride TV today for only $19.99 to see where your ride takes you. Visit RideTVGo.tv to subscribe.
It's time for the weekly look at your equestrian first world problems. This ought to be good.
All right, since we went a little long, we're going to just do a couple of them, and let's see. So these are problems, I'm using quotes, problems that our listeners are having right now, and they're very sad. And if you want to participate in submitting your equestrian first world problems, how do they do that, Glenn?
Yes, so they do that by going to horseradionetwork.com, scroll down to the middle of the page, click on the auditor banner, and for as little as $3 a month, they can join in.
Yes, just become an auditor. So let's start with Jolynn. And this was a common theme in the equestrian first world problems today. But she actually came up victorious. She said, I wore a fuzzy sweater to the barn and then I decided to brush my horses. Okay, so obviously it's shedding season. But her win was, at least I didn't put on chapstick first. I feel seen. And kind
She's
of picked
to
on
the show. Good for you.
Jillian says 1 month until Kentucky and my shopping list keeps growing. Yes, I know. There's so many things I need. And I'm like, just wait. Take that extra empty suitcase with you. It'll be fine. Caitlin said we had a saddle fitter out this weekend and we were very fortunate enough to find one that fits both Charlie and Taco. Remember, she bought Taco Tuesday for her daughter, Charlie, yeah. But she wrote Charlie and Taco Bell. I don't know if she meant to do that or not, but that's a good name too. But yay. She said, but now we have to wait for it to ship here from the UK. And the saddle fitter thinks it might be a couple of weeks minimum before it gets here. Now I read that and all I recall is this poor horse that was in a cattle feedlot that had his face ripped off in the videos, was just scared to death of everybody. He's 14 hands tall and he's ridden by a 6'6" idiot cowboy just abusing the hell out of him. He comes to me and now he's having a custom fit saddle shifting from Europe.
Yeah, he won the lottery this one.
For the win. Oh my God.
He won the lottery.
Oh, it makes me want to post the before pictures of him. And I have before videos of bless his little heart, Craigslist Carl. And so I'm going to look for those and I'm going to post these and I'm going to show you the life that these horses have now. And it's all because of Facebook Marketplace and Craigslist. Jen says, and she went the other way, and she also for the win. She said, I skipped chapstick so I could groom all my horses, but then my lips were dry all morning. See, it's a thing, Glenn. It's a thing. Let's see. Christy says, I was supposed to go look at a horse, but we lost power, and then we got 6 more inches of snow. That weather. It sucks. Carrie says, I spent over an hour cleaning out the dry paddock after the snow melted today, and it was so satisfying. And she posts a picture of a paddock that has like not one little bit of poop. She said, but now the horses are going to use it again and get it all gross again.
I know. I say that every time I clean them. It's like, can you leave them in or put them somewhere, somebody else's farm?
Two more. Andrea says, I had a day off, so I drove with my husband. See, Andrea gets it. She gets it. I had a day off and I drove with my husband 2 hours to the college he teaches at. And then I remembered there was a tack store nearby and I popped in for a quick visit. Turns out it was their semi-annual sale and I saved $160.
Okay, she saved $160. We know what that bill was.
God. And then this final one came unnoticed and I kind of like had to go back and I was like, wait, what did that say? And it's a picture of a horse that is grazing over the fence, like getting green grass on the other side of the fence. And it says, my new horse, Barcelona, says the grass over there is greener than the grass in my pasture. And my new horse, Barcelona, this was posted by Charlotte Merle Smith. Did you know Charlotte got a new horse?
I knew she got one last year. I don't Is this another new one? Do we know? I gotta get Charlotte on. We gotta get Charlotte on here. We haven't talked to her.
She's been horse shopping for a horse that will work for her disability for like a million years. And she has one and we don't know about this?
Charlotte, you need to come on the show. Come on.
What the hell, Charlotte?
Get us caught up, Charlotte.
You can't just drop in my new horse post and be like, nothing happened. No, it looks, from the picture, it looks like it appears to be, let me zoom in, a chestnut.
And it'll be 18 and a half hands because she always gets the really big ones.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Well, congratulations. And I'm
Good
mad
job,
you didn't
Charlotte.
Tell me.
Yeah. Yeah. You need to let us know what's going on there. All right. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. We really appreciate it. Thank you for putting your question, First World Problems. We're going to do a quick post show here for the auditors. So hang on for that. And happy St. Paddy's Day, everybody. I heard yesterday how much beer is consumed in the United States over this weekend and today, and it's a lot. It's a whole lot.
I need to go get me some Guinness after that interview. Bless him.
I know, he's
great. Geld. I love him. It was awesome.
Time for the Auditor Post Show. We want to remind you that this is not always safe for work or the kiddos. Thanks for hanging around for our nonsense.
That guy was fantastic. I literally want to go to Ireland and go to the show and buy a horse at the end of it, like some like Kardashian.
And you know, Kildare is one of those places in Ireland that we've all heard of. We've heard the the name Kildare. So
well,
it just sounds perfectly Irish.
The Irish Stud Farm and National Gardens is there. And that's the one that's open to the public. So we went in there. It's just unbelievable. It's like a Kentucky horse park kind of thing, but like a working facility. It was awesome.
And his
it
dad was a milkman that used a horse to deliver milk. I mean,
so great.
How much perfect can you get?
So great.
So you had something for post show?
Yeah, just I've got today. I didn't want to talk about this in the main show. But there is a individual family who owns a bunch of racehorses, and due to health problems, they decided to scale back. So they had a bunch of horses in training, eight specifically horses in training, and these people for the track, yeah. But they're not in to the track yet. They're just into where they get started. So they had some health problems. They're like, let's go visit these horses, kind of see where they are and getting along. And they go to this trainer's facility, and the horses are hiding in the backs of the stalls. It's a new horse starter, horse breaker that they've hired. And this is the first set of horses they've sent. And she called me and they need to. They were like, the horses told us all we needed to know. So they went there and these horses were hiding in the backs of stalls, and they have eight of them. And they're all two-year-old thoroughbreds that haven't even made it to the track yet. And they pulled all of them out of training. And they're like, you know what? With all our health problems, we're done. So they are sending all eight of these horses to Horse and Hound.
I thought they were sending them to you. It was like,
well, here's the thing. I've trained a lot of their horses through Horse and Hound once they're done racing. It's a pretty prolific Oklahoma racing family. And they're just like, we're kind of done. We have the eight horses that haven't even made it to the track yet.
So they're just donating them?
Yeah, they'll take them because they know they'll get good homes. When they come through here and then go through there, they tend to get really good homes, so they don't have to worry about them. And so they are going to donate all of them to Horse and Hound. However, there are two specifically that haven't even had riders on yet. Two-year-old thoroughbreds that have been aggressively handled that haven't even ever had riders yet. So they tell me all of this and they're like, okay, we have these eight. How many can you take? I was like, how many can I take? Well, I tend to train two at a time for Horse and Hound. So I said, okay, well, I can take two right now. And she was like, well, which ones? And I was like, send me the worst two first. Just send me the worst two. And so they were like, two. So I've got to go down and meet the trailer. They were supposed to be here pretty soon to now, but I guess there were some loading issues because they're Yeah. So I'm going to head down and get the gate open.
Do you
for
still have Barrett? Is he still around?
That's why I said send the two hardest ones.
Because he's still here?
Because he's still here. And of course, they're probably going to be 14-2 and I'll be the rider. But yeah. You know what? It's fine. Yeah. So I'm restarting two off the track thoroughbreds. And I just love this family. They were like, you know what? The horses told us how they felt, but when we got there, they were hiding in the backs of the stalls. They didn't want anything to do with us. And she was like, it was just an aggressive environment, and that's not how we raise our horses. And that's the person who had previously been starting all their horses and did a phenomenal job retired. Ooh. So that's why they had to send the last eight that they were raising to this place. And she was like, apparently they went, checked on the horses, and they were like, they turned around when we got their trailer and came and picked them all up. They're like, this is, and they're send them through horse and hound. So the two, I'm assuming I'm going to have some fairly exciting horses. Yeah. And by exciting, like they're going to be scared. Yeah. They're going to be terrified. They're going to get off the trailer and be absolutely terrified. And I'm just going to take my time with them and have these two, but at least I have Barrett. Now he's gone right now for spring break. So I get the whole first week and I don't know what's, I don't even know if you can touch them. I don't know if they're leadable. I don't know anything about them. All I know is they were hiding in the backs of the stalls and they haven't had riders on. She said they were line driving them, but they haven't had saddles on. Mm. Like, I don't know what any of that means. I'll just have to
scratch. Yeah.
I'll just restart them and give them a join up and let them know that humans aren't bad and spend some time convincing them that trying to show them that humans aren't bad. But this is going to be a new exciting thing, but I don't know how much I could say on the regular podcast. Mm. I will talk to her today and just ask if I can let people know more information about this, because I think what they're probably one of, and she, this is what she told me. She said, if these horses are too damaged, too emotionally damaged, she goes, just call me and I will come and pick them up and they can live in our pasture forever. Like, these are the most amazing racehorse people. And some of y'all listening know who I'm talking about, but I can't say it. But the amazing, like,
well,
family,
hopefully we can
dynasty.
Find some nice homes for all of them, too.
I hope so. And of course, my husband, you know what? If you like one of them, you can keep it. Just keep it.
What is he? He's so buttering you up. Hey, until he has to catch them when they're loose at 2:40 in the morning.
And I'm like, why? So I can do all the damn work?
Yeah.
So you can just sit there and steam coming out of your ears while I'm in the middle of throwing up and other things? Oh.
By the way, is your shoulder good?
Oh, yeah, it's fine.
100%? Fine. Back to normal?
That's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't do some things, but other things I can still do. So it's fine.
Can you put the saddle on?
I can put the saddle on, no problem.
You can put your saddle on. You wouldn't be able to put Jennifer's new saddle on.
Oh, I can put any saddle on. I just can't take it off. And you know how you put your left hand like under the saddle pad and you lift up and you pull the saddle pad up into the pommel? Yeah, I can't do that.
Okay. So there's certain movements that you can't do.
There's certain things that you
can't.
Can
you turn left?
On a horse?
Yes.
Yeah. Anything with my hands low, I'm fine.
Right,
it's fine. I've been practicing jumping position, like reaching forward. That's still a little stiff, not going to lie, but it'll be fine. Everything's fine. It's fine.
On that note.
Congratulations. You made it through another post show. Thank you for all your support. Now go ride your horse.